The headlines. Iran's president says the revival of the 2015 nuclear deal is tied to the U.S. removing the obstacles it created in the first place. Britain's economy is already in a recession, with the Bank of England increasing interest rates to the highest in nearly a decade and a half. And in Iraq, U.S. military forces kill a teenage girl during a live-fire drill near Baghdad airport. Well, welcome to our studios here in the capital, Tehran. This is News. Thanks for joining us. The Iranian president says obstacles which are impeding the revival of the 2015 Iran deal should be removed by those who have created them. Speaking to a number of U.S. foreign policy experts in New York, Ebrahim Raisi said that Iran has not withdrawn from the agreement and has lived up to its commitments under the accord. Rather, he stressed it was Washington that unilaterally pulled out of the deal, and it is the Europeans that are reneging on their obligations. He said that Tehran approves of talks with the aim of reaching a just and logical outcome. Meanwhile, the Iranian Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdollahian, who is accompanying President Raisi in his New York trip, told his Irish counterpart, Simon Coveney, that Tehran is ready for a good and lasting agreement during talks in Vienna on the revival of the JCPOA. He also urged the U.S., as well as Britain, France, and Germany, to be realistic and to show the will to lift sanctions on Iran. Political commentator Abbas Aslani says Washington's refusal to return to full compliance with the JCPOA is among the main obstacles to the revival of the agreement.
I think one of the major impediments for revival of the nuclear deal is that the Biden administration is not ready to return to the full compliance with the terms of the nuclear deal, because they were somehow hesitant about, let's say, appeasing those opponents about returning to the nuclear deal. And now that they are facing a midterm election in the United States, they cannot make a decision whether to return or not. So that has been one of the major obstacles along the way as of the beginning of the talks so far. So, and that's why Iranian president in his meetings in New York somehow referred to that Americans' decision is needed for revival of the the nuclear deal.
As tensions grow in parts of the West Asian region, a senior Iranian military commander warns that his country will not tolerate any redrawing of frontiers.
As we have stated many times, we will not tolerate changes in the borders of the countries of the region, and we advise the countries of Azerbaijan and Armenia to solve their problems through dialogue. We will not tolerate the change of the borders with war, and we will not remain silent.
General Baghdadi's words came as the two South Caucasus countries have seen deadly clashes at their border this month. The Iranian commander also urged Persian Gulf Arab states to remain on the watch for any seditious moves by Israel. The top general said that Iran will strongly confront Zionist elements and their supporters in case of any threats from them. He said the U.S. and Israel pose threats to regional security and expressed hope no such security threats will exist in the future. General Baghdadi made the remarks during a military parade marking Iran's Sacred Defense Week. The Iranian Health Ministry says 61 ambulances have been destroyed during the recent riots in several cities in the country. The ministry said the move disrupted emergency health services and the treatment process of patients, described the attacks on ambulances as an inhumane act, and demanded that rioters be held accountable. The riots began a few days ago with rioters blocking streets and vandalizing public property, as well as police vehicles and ambulances. At least two security forces were killed while trying to confront the rioters. Riots erupted in several Iranian cities after a 22-year-old woman named Mahsa Amini died on Friday in the hospital, days after she was taken into a police station. Police later released the CCTV footage of Amini. The video shows the woman suddenly collapsing on the ground in the police station and then later being brought to an ambulance. Tehran Police Commander Hossein Rahimi has rejected claims that she was mistreated, saying no physical contact happened between officers and Amini. Officials have given assurances that a thorough investigation is underway into her death. Earlier, we were joined by political analyst Said Mohammad Marandi to get his thoughts on the latest riots across Iran. He believes that Western countries and media outlets are encouraging violence inside Iran.
When Western media or Western-owned media and Western-backed terrorists are active in our country, and as we've seen over the last couple of days, the people who are basically following their guidelines or the objectives that they've designated for them, they've been carrying out violent assaults on police officers. Last night we saw a police officer set alight by these rioters. So Western countries are encouraging violence in the country, whereas they claim that Iran is a problem. They encourage violence. They impose sanctions. They've helped Saddam Hussein in his war against Iran. They helped the Shah stay in power. They gave Saddam chemical weapons. Again, they have no right to speak about human rights, not only to the Iranian people, but to anyone else.
Britons have been feeling the squeeze of the cost of living crisis. Now the Bank of England has confirmed the country is in a recession as it raises key interest rates. The Bank of England raised the rates to 2.2%, which is a 14-year high. It also projects the country's economy will shrink by 0.1% in the third quarter. The bank says the contraction is due to the public holiday for Queen Elizabeth's funeral, combined with a low second quarter output. It says these factors meet the definition of a recession. It is the bank's seventh consecutive rate hike as it tries to tame soaring prices. The BOE predicts that inflation will peak at under 11% in October. Britain's inflation stands at 9.9%, remaining the highest in nearly four decades. Asian markets extend a painful Wall Street sell-off following a further hike in Federal Reserve interest rates. Shares fell in China, Japan, and South Korea Thursday. Markets in Singapore, Indonesia, and the Philippines were also in the red. That's after all three benchmarks on Wall Street finished more than 1.7% down, with the U.S. Federal Reserve raising interest rates by 0.75% for the third consecutive time this year. The new hike brings the central bank's benchmark interest rate to its highest level since 2008. The Fed boss, Jerome Powell, said the central bank will stay the course with its aggressive measures to bring the 40-year high inflation down. He admitted that such policies would affect the American economy, but said there is no easier way to tackle rising prices. The young girl has been fatally shot during a live fire drill by the U.S. military near the Iraqi capital, Baghdad. 15-year-old Zainab Assam al-Khazali was hit by a bullet which originated from the Victoria military base near Baghdad International Airport. An Iraqi security source says that a probe has been launched into the murder, which is being described as a random shooting. Asaib al-Halhaq political group has called the U.S. military action a flagrant breach of Iraqi sovereignty. The U.S. invaded the Arab country in 2003 to oust then-Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein, but Washington continues to maintain its troops there under the pretext of fighting terrorism. Iraqis have repeatedly expressed their opposition to the U.S. military presence in the country, calling for them to leave. We were earlier joined by director of the Center for Counter-Hegemonic Studies, Tim Anderson, who gave us his take on the recent killing of a young Iraqi girl near the Abu Ghraib detention center.
It's an awful reminder of the consequences of this almost 20-year-long U.S. occupation in Iraq. And, of course, the shooting happened just near the infamous torture center that the Americans set up in Abu Ghraib. Now, this young girl wasn't even born when the invasion in 2003 took place, but she's the latest of hundreds of thousands of victims of this U.S. occupation. And unfortunately, we have to recognize that one of the key features of any foreign occupation is there will be no accountability. We can be certain that there won't be accountability in Iraq because that's the nature of the occupation they've established with the Iraqi government. They're still in Iraq for the same reason that they're in Syria, for the same reason that they have economic sieges on the entirety of West Asia. They are trying to fragment and weaken that whole region to prevent the resistance emerging and creating a strong and prosperous region. They want to weaken and divide people, as empires always do, to try and maintain their own influence in the world. And this is the West Asia is a very important region in between Europe and Asia, where the greatest struggles of our time are going on.
Yemen's armed forces stage a massive military parade in the capital, Sana'a, to mark the 8th anniversary of the September 21 revolution in the country. Over 35,000 troops from various units participated in the march. A broad range of advanced equipment, such as missiles, unmanned aerial vehicles, and air defense systems, were also put on display. A spokesman for the Yemeni military, Colonel Aziz Rashid, said the parade has a clear message to the Saudi-led coalition, which waged a war in Yemen in 2015 with U.S. support. The invasion took place after Yemeni people protested against the Saudi-backed regime and removed it from power. The UN says that the war in Yemen has created the worst humanitarian crisis in the world. The truce is currently holding between the two sides and is to be renewed on October 2. Russia's President Putin has called for a mass mobilization of reservists to serve the army in the Ukraine war. To the West, which has been angered by the move, this signals Russia is in trouble. Now, Putin, however, sees it in another light. He believes this is needed to guard border regions with Ukraine. Regions in eastern and southern Ukraine recently announced referendum plans to become parts of Russia.
As the war in Ukraine drags on, Russia announces its intent to intensify its military operation there. President Putin has now announced a partial mobilization of Russia's military forces. Putin said the Defense Ministry had recommended drawing military reservists into active service as the country faces a protracted conflict in Ukraine and Donbas. Putin says the measure is necessary because Russia is fighting, quote, the entire Western military machine in Ukraine. Putin further accused Ukraine of backing away from a deal that was in the making to end the war. After certain compromises were reached, Kiev received a de facto direct order to derail all agreements. More weapons were pumped into Ukraine. The Kiev regime deployed more gangs of international mercenaries and nationalists, military units trained to NATO standards, and under de facto command of Western advisors. Putin is referring to negotiations that gained momentum following the start of the war back in February. But the West, headed by the United States, pressured Kiev to quit the talks. The West saw the war as an opportunity to contain Russia. In other words, the United States and its allies capitalized on Moscow's moves in Ukraine to settle their long-running differences with the Kremlin. They then began pouring military hardware into East Europe and Ukraine in particular. The United States has already given billions of dollars of military aid to Ukraine and encouraged the leaders in Ukraine to keep up the fight at the expense of their own people. Ukraine has now turned into a battleground used by the United States and its allies in their fight against Russia.
The referendums that we mentioned are for the four regions with the names of Donetsk, Luhansk, sometimes referred to as Lugansk, Zaporizhzhia, and Kherson. It may indicate a move to annex territories, but it is an assumed fact that those regions will actually become part of Russia. And as such, Moscow will then defend the territories as Russia's own, which would spell another headache for the West and could prove that there would be no end in sight to this war.
During his Wednesday speech, President Putin also commented on the upcoming referendums in the two Donbas republics and two regions of Ukraine currently controlled to a large extent by Russian troops. They are putting to a general vote a proposal to ask Moscow to accept them as new parts of the Russian Federation. The polling is scheduled for Friday. Back in February, Russia recognized the two Donbas regions of Luhansk and Donetsk as sovereign republics. However, Kiev lost de facto control of both in 2014 when the local populations rejected the outcome of the Western-backed Maidan coup. But it now appears that they are set to join Russia, which will further increase tensions. It's believed that Russia's partial mobilization is to prepare for the possible fallout of that decision. Back in 2014, Russia took control of the strategic Crimea Peninsula following a referendum there. Ukraine, backed by the West, has made some inroads into the territories held by Russia. Ukraine's counter-offensive has seen the country recapture the first village in Luhansk. They are also making inroads into the Kharkiv region. Ukraine's president, Vladimir Zelensky, has claimed that the Russian invaders are now in, quote, panic. But Russia has not given any indication that it's prepared to accept Kiev's demands for a full withdrawal from Ukrainian territory, including areas seized in 2014. It now appears that the confrontation between Russia and the West, which practically started since the fall of the Berlin Wall, has entered a new phase. And there are now concerns that the crisis may develop into a nuclear war between the global powers.
An ancient archaeological site has been unearthed in the besieged Gaza Strip. The location reveals well-preserved Byzantine-era mosaic floors. Our Gaza correspondent Ashraf Shannon tells us more about the discovery in the following report.
A 1,500-year-old archaeological site dating back to the Byzantine era has been found in central Gaza. The site contains mosaic floors depicting various animals and bird designs, as well as day-to-day life in the Byzantine era. A total of 17 images grace the colorful mosaic floors. Excavations have also revealed evidence of structures from the remains of old walls. Experts say the artifacts are one of the most important discoveries in the blockaded territory. The credit for the historic discovery goes to Palestinian farmer Salman Al-Nabahin. Salman was working on his farm when he stumbled upon the archaeological treasure. Upon the discovery of the mosaics, he notified the local authorities. The Gaza Strip is rich with antiquities from different civilizations. Most of its artifacts were stolen during the Israeli occupation of the territory. Nonetheless, archaeological sites are still being found by both archaeologists and individuals.
The Palestinian people are fighting a cultural and historical battle with the Zionist enemy. Zionists claim that Palestine did not have any people in the past, but discoveries such as this one prove that the people of Palestine lived here for thousands of years.
Many here only hope that this important archaeological discovery would draw attention to this isolated part of the world. The beautiful mosaics found in this site unveil the rich history of the area that used to be a major trade route between Asia and Africa in ancient times. Ashraf Shanan, Gaza.
And that does it for this edition of World News. Bye-bye for now.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight. The number of suicides among American veterans has increased in the past decade to the extent that the number is higher than the total number of American soldiers killed in the wars in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Vietnam. Publication of news and events related to troubles and problems as well as suicide of American veterans is censored by the media affiliated with the U.S. Republicans and Democrats. Today, the majority of veterans who have been engaged in looting, occupying and killing innocent people in Afghanistan and Iraq admit that their presence and participation in the bloody game of the White House and the Pentagon only led to the regression in their personal and social lives. We have taken a look at some of the world media's coverage of this issue. Please stay with us for more. The website of NBC News has more on this story. A new study found more military veterans died by suicide than the Department of Veteran Affairs had previously reported. According to a study released on Saturday, 17th of September, by America's Warrior Partnership, a national non-profit organization that works to end veteran suicide, the number of suicide among former service members is 1.37 times greater in 8 states than the Department of Veteran Affairs had reported from 2014 to 2018. The report found if those states represent a national rate, that would mean about 24 veterans die by suicide each day, compared with the Department of Veteran Affairs' average of 17.7 suicides in that time frame. Jim Lorraine, America's Warrior Partnership president, who served in the Air Force for 22 years, said, "It's devastating. I'm not only a veteran myself, my son serves, my son-in-law serves as well. My wife is a veteran. I know a lot of veterans who have died from suicide." The report examined data from Alabama, Florida, Maine, Massachusetts, Michigan, Minnesota, Montana, and Oregon. America's Warrior Partnership, or AWP, said those 8 states, which represent 18% of all U.S. veterans, were the only states to provide usable data, adding that most states had been barred from releasing data because of confidentiality restrictions. The report found veterans who served less than 3 years were at the greatest risk of suicide, and the odds of dying by suicide increased by 56% if the veteran had received a demotion. The report said former members of the Coast Guard were most likely to die by suicide, followed by Marine Corps, the Army, Navy, and Air Force service members. The website of Global News explains more about the same story. A comprehensive new study has revealed that American military veterans are committing suicide at a much higher rate than the U.S. government is reporting. According to the new study, an average of 24 former service members are taking their own lives every day, 37% more than what has been reported by the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs. In addition, 20 veterans on average are dying each day by self-injury mortality, such as drug overdose. According to the new study, the official figures are lower because of undercounting related to drug overdose deaths and service record errors, which reviewed census death data from 2014 to 2018 for 8 states. It found thousands of cases of suspected or confirmed suicides that were not included in federal reports. Jim Lorraine, a U.S. Air Force veteran, said, "These are all preventable deaths. The number is less important than the methodology of tracking them and making sure we have an accurate count that can lead us to prevention steps." Jim Lorraine said many drug-related deaths in the states that researchers reviewed were classified as accidents or undermined, even though there were indications that they should have been tagged as suicide. There were also cases where the military history of the deceased individuals was incorrectly reported, resulting to a further undercounting of the number of veteran suicides. Suicide has been described as a national health crisis in the United States, with more than 45,000 Americans taking their own lives each year. Also, suicide rates among active duty U.S. military members are currently at an all-time high since record-keeping began after 9/11 and have been increasing over the past 5 years at an alarmingly steady pace. In fact, some branches of the U.S. Armed Forces are experiencing the highest rate of suicide since the Second World War. In 2021, research found that 30,177 active duty personnel and veterans who served in the military after 9/11 have died by suicide, compared to 7,057 service members killed in combat in those same 20 years. That is, military suicide rates are 4 times higher than deaths that occurred during military operations. The AmericanAddictionCenters.org website has more on the same story. A major yet preventable health problem in the United States is suicide. Sadly, veterans comprise nearly a quarter of all suicide deaths in the United States. In 2017, a team of researchers looking at data on more than 4.8 million veterans found that veterans with substance use disorders had twice the risk of suicide compared to those without a substance use disorder. Other commonly cited factors leading to increased suicide risk in veterans, as well as other groups, were anger, rage, mood swings, and episodes of anxiety and agitation, expressing feelings of having no reason to live, increased alcohol abuse and/or substance abuse, self-destructive and risky behaviors like driving while impaired. The suicide rate for veterans is 1.5 times higher than that of the general population. Comparing the rate among female veterans to non-veteran adult women, the rate is 2.5 times higher. From 2001 to 2014, the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs reports an increased suicide rate among women using Department of Veteran Affairs services from 14.4 per 100,000 to 17.3 per 100,000 of the population. Suicide rates are especially high among older veterans. According to the Department of Veteran Affairs, in 2016, about 58% of all veterans committed suicide were among veterans aged 55 years or older. Several other factors, in addition to distance, play a role in higher suicide rates among older veterans. Certain emotional precursors may precede suicide events, including feelings of loneliness, isolation, hopelessness, and depression.
السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله.
وإنما خرجت لطلب الإصلاح في أمة جدي صلى الله عليه وآله.
The words of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam in dialogue.
صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله.
Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, the son of the commander of the faithful Imam Ali, the son of the Lady of Light, the esteemed Fatima, the grandson of the Holy Prophet Muhammad. Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, the beacon of light which guides towards patience and fortitude. The one who has eloquently said, "Be aware that all good works bear praise, and they bear commendation and bring about a good reward." Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, the master of martyrs, these are his dialogues.
Every clean soul and this
Imam al-Hussein's words in response to Amr bin Hajjaj. "Woe unto you, O Amr! Do you instigate people against me? Have we abandoned the religion of Islam, but you still believe in it? When our souls have left our bodies, you will realize who is more deserving of the fire."
As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdillah wa ala al-arwah allati halat bifina'i alayka.
Dear audience, now let's listen to some parts of Ziyara al-Nahiya al-Muqaddasa. Stay tuned.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. السلام على الحسين الذي سمحت نفسه بمهجته.
Peace be upon al-Hussein, who sacrificed himself up to the last drops of the blood of his heart.
السلام على من أطاع الله في سره وعلانيته.
Peace be upon him who obeyed Allah secretly and openly.
السلام على من جعل الله الشفاء في تربته.
Peace be upon whom Allah placed a cure in the soul of his place of martyrdom.
السلام على من الإجابة تحت قبته.
Peace be upon the one under whose dome answer to supplications is guaranteed.
السلام على من الأئمة من ذريته.
Peace be upon the one in whose descendants are the Imams after him.
السلام على ابن خاتم الأنبياء. السلام على ابن سيد الأوصياء.
Peace be upon the son of the seal of the prophets. Peace be upon the son of the chief of the executors.
السلام على ابن فاطمة الزهراء. السلام على ابن خديجة الكبرى.
Peace be upon the son of Fatima, the radiant. Peace be upon the son of Khadija, the great.
السلام على ابن سدرة المنتهى. السلام على ابن جنة المأوى. السلام على ابن زمزم والصفا.
Peace be upon the son of the lotus tree in the outermost boundary of heaven. Peace be upon the son of the garden of refuge. Peace be upon the son of Zamzam and As-Safa.
As-salamu ala al-murammal bid-dima. As-salamu ala al-mahduk al-khiba. As-salamu ala khamis ashab ahli al-kasaya.
Peace be upon him who was saturated in his blood. Peace be upon him whose tents were violated. Peace be upon the fifth of the people of the cloak.
And now let's listen to Dr. Muhammad Reza Fakhr Rouhani.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم و بین استین السلام علیکم و عبدالله السلام علیکم و رحمت الله و برکاته. In this context, we are going to be concerned with a short and brief remark of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam unto a gesture that someone by the name of Amr ibn al-Hajjaj did on Karbala. When the Umayyad enemy soldiers got around Karbala and they surrounded Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam's encampment almost on every side, some of the soldiers started rebuking Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and expressing the desire that they want to, for example, initiate the war, or for example, they started rebuking Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, or for example, despising the companions of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam in this way. Then this person by the name of Abu Nabil al-Hajjaj started instigating others, instigating people who were around Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam to leave Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, and on the other hand, he wanted to do something in order to prompt the occurrence and the outbreak of the Ashura war and the Battle of Ashura. Then Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam approached him, and quite reproachingly, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam said to him, "Woe unto you, O Amr. Do you instigate people against me?" And then Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam showed to Amr that he was none but a hypocrite. And then Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam said, "So, fight the person who has abandoned the religion of Islam and has got separated defiantly from the Muslim community." Then we find that Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam intended not to initiate any war. Rather, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam wanted to alert people and not to do so. And by doing so, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam intended to show that he was the Imam of peace and not the Imam of war, as sometimes he is sketched in this way. Regarding these instances, it must be indicated that the enemy soldiers who were over there, in Karbala, some of them, they intended the war, they wanted the war to take place as soon as possible, because they had come from other places and mainly from Kufa in anticipation of some gainings. Yet, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam was so wise not to be deceived by the instigations and wanted to alert them and to teach them that they were not able to practicalize their own interests and benefits and plans. Thank you. As-salamu alayka ya Aba
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of the program Dialogue. We hope that you remain under the auspicious grace of Imam Hussein today and always. عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقي
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio.
please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight.
U.S. President Joe Biden's incorrect performance in the field of foreign, domestic, and economic policy has caused his popularity to drop extensively. President Biden's approval rating has remained below 50% since August of 2021, a warning sign that his Democratic Party could lose control of at least one chamber of the U.S. Congress in the November 8 midterm elections. Thus, Republicans are expected to achieve victories in the midterm elections this November. If they take control of the U.S. House of Representatives, more than two-thirds of them believe that Joe Biden should be impeached. We take a look at some of the world media's coverage of this issue. Please stay with us. MSNBC, an American news-based television channel based in New York, has this to say. U.S. Republicans hoping to seize control of the House of Representatives this November are already setting their sights on what is, for many of them, a top priority next year: impeaching the current president, Joe Biden. A number of rank-and-file conservatives have already introduced impeachment articles in the current Congress against President Biden. Those resolutions never had a chance of seeing the light of day, with Democrats holding a narrow control of the lower chamber. But with Republicans widely expected to win the House majority in the midterm elections, many of the same conservatives wanted to tap their new potential powers to oust the president they deem unfit. Some would like to make it a first order of business. The article quoted a variety of GOP lawmakers and their spokespersons, including Representative Bob Good of Virginia, insisting that the Democratic president should be impeached for intentionally opening the U.S. border with Mexico, despite the fact that this has never happened in reality. As regular leaders may recall, this isn't altogether new. One of the first Republican lawmakers to broach the subject of impeaching Joe Biden was Iowa Senator Joni Ernst, who raised the prospect 2 years ago, long before the Delaware Democrat had even secured his party's nomination. The GOP senator, Joni Ernst, said at the time that the impeachment door has been opened, and pointed to conspiracy theories about Burisma, a holding company, and Ukraine. Also, after Joe Biden's inauguration, several House Republicans filed articles of impeachment against the Democratic president, and earlier this year, Republican Senator Ted Cruz of Texas added that he believed the Republican-led House would likely consider impeaching Joe Biden on multiple grounds. Senator Ted Cruz added a few weeks ago that in the wake of the FBI's Mar-a-Lago search, the pressure to impeach Joe Biden is going to be enormous. Representative Jim Jordan, a Republican position to the chair of the House Judiciary Committee, has said he wants to see his party at least begin a conversation about impeaching President Biden. The Hill has more on this story. At least 8 resolutions to impeach Joe Biden have been offered since he took office. 3 related to his handling of the migrant surge at the southern border with Mexico. 3 targeting his management of the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan last year. 1 denouncing the eviction moratorium designed to help renters during the pandemic. And still another connected to the overseas business dealings of his son, Hunter Biden. Those proposals will expire with the end of this Congress, but some of the sponsors are already vowing to revisit them quickly next year. Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, a Republican from Georgia, the lead sponsor of 4 of the impeachment resolutions, is among them. Nick Dyer, a Greene spokesman, said recently in an email, Marjorie Taylor Greene believes Joe Biden should have been impeached as soon as he was sworn into office, so of course she wants it to happen as soon as possible. A noisy impeachment push for the GOP's right flank could create headaches for Representative Kevin McCarthy of California, the Republican leader in line to be Speaker of the House, and other party brass just as the 2024 presidential cycle heats up. Another strategy GOP leaders may adopt is to impeach a high-ranking member of the administration, but not the president himself. Several resolutions have been introduced to do just that, separately targeting Vice President Kamala Harris, the Secretary of State Anthony Blinken, the Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, and Attorney General Merrick Garland. The British newspaper The Guardian has also covered the same story. A rare anti-Trump Republican congressman predicted US Republicans will try to impeach Joe Biden every week if they retake the House of Representatives this November. Remembering repeated attempts to defund the Affordable Care Act under Barack Obama, Adam Kinzinger of Illinois said, "That's going to look like child's play in terms of what Marjorie Taylor Greene is going to demand of Kevin McCarthy." Kinzinger added, they're going to demand an impeachment vote on President Biden every week. Adam Kinzinger was speaking to David Axelrod, a former Obama advisor, on his Axis File podcast. Kinzinger is one of 2 Republicans on the House committee investigating the Capitol attack that Donald Trump incited. He will retire this November. The other Republican, Liz Cheney of Wyoming, lost her primary to a Trump-backed challenger. Marjorie Taylor Greene from Georgia is among far-right Republicans who have already introduced or threatened impeachment articles against Joe Biden on issues including the COVID pandemic, immigration, Afghanistan, and misdemeanor of Biden's son, Hunter Biden. Adam Kinzinger added, I think it will be a very difficult majority for him to govern unless he just chooses to go absolutely crazy with them, in which case you may see the rise of the silent, non-existent, moderate Republican that may still exist out there, but I don't know. Democrats impeached Donald Trump twice. Adam Kinzinger voted against the first impeachment over the blackmail of Ukraine for political purposes, but for the second over the Capitol attack. He told David Axelrod he regretted the first vote. 9 other House Republicans voted for Donald Trump's second impeachment, making it the most bipartisan in history. At trial in the Senate, 7 Republicans found Trump guilty, but that was not enough for a conviction. Discussing Adam Kinzinger's work on the January 6th committee, David Axelrod pointed to a recent opinion poll which said 72% of Republican voters still back Donald Trump's lie about election fraud and say Joe Biden is not the legitimate president of America.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 25 meters, 11,865 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird Eutelsat 3B and IranSat or Bat 5 and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very beautiful and interesting hadith, which has been narrated from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, regarding the love of leadership. In this hadith, Imam censures those who love leadership and who seek it out. You know, this is a topic which is very tricky. You know, a lot of people, you know, they go through the necessary steps, right, to becoming a leader. For example, we're not talking about leadership necessarily of a government. It could be leadership of a company. You know, it could be leadership of a community. You know, it could be leadership of a business or whatever, right? You know, certain people they go through the necessary steps taken, you know, that are necessary to be taken in order for somebody to come at a certain high position. In one of these cases, right? For example, they go to school, they start working, and gradually work themselves up. They gain all the experience they need to come into that position where they can actually serve as a valuable leader, right? But according to these hadiths, right, according to this hadith that we have, a person shouldn't actively pursue kind of, you know, trying to take the reins of leadership of one of these positions, right? Rather should kind of forego it and leave it and put it in the hands of God. You know, if people actually choose him to become, you know, leader, and you know, that's fine. Otherwise, he shouldn't actually pursue it and actively pursue it. For example, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, "Beware of those leaders who are taking up the reins of leadership. For by Allah, no sooner does the sound of footsteps from behind them, following them, reach their ears than that they perish and destroy others along with them." Right? So I guess the gist and the kind of whole purpose of the hadith is that one shouldn't love leadership. You know, one shouldn't seek it out for the sake of leading people. One shouldn't try to, you know, that shouldn't be the person's goal. The person's goal should be to be of service to the people, to be in their service, you know, regardless of whether the person is actually in a position of leadership or not. And right, you know, and actually this love of leadership is something very perilous and dangerous. For example, we have another hadith from Imam Bakr alayhi salam, in which he says, "Do not ever desire to be a leader, for in doing so, you will only end up being a follower." And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, "One who seeks after leadership perishes." Right, so this is something that, you know, everybody needs to kind of be careful about. You know, if we're we are in a position of leadership, you know, we shouldn't be our sole goal. We shouldn't worship, you know, the position that we're in, right? We should be kind of put ourselves in the service, consider ourselves servants of the people we are leading, and not their leader per se. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the censure of the love of leadership in the words of Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam. Until next